Once again, good morning. So good to be with you as always. We're going to have a little bit different kind of a service this morning. I decided a couple of weeks ago, I think it would be really important for us as a church to kind of stop mid-year. Can you believe this? We're halfway through this year already. Anybody else like mind blown by that? I feel like we just had Christmas and it's July already. And so the days are flying by, the weeks, the months are flying by. And usually in January, what we do around here is we have like a Vision Sunday where we talk about, hey, this is who we want to be as a church. This is who God is calling us to be, what we want to accomplish in 2026 or whatever year it happens to be. And then here's what I think often happens. Here's the conviction I kind of felt this week. We forget about it within a few weeks of actually having that vision casting moment. And then we get to the end of the year and you're like, what was our vision again? What was the purpose? Like, what were we trying to accomplish around here? And so I thought, you know, it'd be probably a good idea for us as a church to just stop and take some time to, number one, look back on the first half of this year and just reflect on the good things that God is doing around here. Because I think a lot of times it's easy to kind of come to church and not necessarily even see many of the things, the good things that are happening around here. And so that's where I want to start this morning. I just want to look back a little bit. I'm calling this our mid-year memo. And we're just going to talk about some of the things that God has been doing, how he's been working here. And then we're going to look at some important updates for us as a church. And I want you to know, if you're joining with us for the very first time, you might be thinking, man, I came on the worst weekend ever. Like, I would have really loved to have heard a sermon. I would have loved to have, or more traditional sermon. Can I talk to you just for a second? I think this is actually a really great weekend for you to be here. I think it's a really great weekend for you to get a glimpse and kind of a window into who we are as a church, what we're about, what we care about. You're going to get to see that today. And you are going to get to hear from the Word of God today, and we're going to look at who I believe God has called us to be as disciples of Jesus Christ. So I think it's a great weekend for you. If you are somebody who's part of the True North family, you may be thinking, oh man, I really wanted to hear a more traditional sermon today. Can I talk to you for a second? This is a really important Sunday for you as well, because if this is your church home, you put a stake in the ground and said, this is where I'm going to worship. This is where I'm going to invest. This is the place where I want to have an impact in the community. This is important for you as well, because it's a reminder for us, church family, for you. It's kind of like a little family meeting today to talk about who we are as a church. So no matter what, no matter who you are, I think today is an important, important day. And so let's take a moment. Let's just look back a little bit here on where we've been this year. I have been blown away. I continue to have conversation after conversation after conversation with people who have come to True North Church and have said to me, Justin, this place is having such an impact on my life. And can I just tell you, as a follower of Jesus, first and foremost, but then also as a pastor, nothing gets me more excited than to hear that God is working and moving in somebody's life. Like ultimately, at the end of the day, that's why we do everything we do around here, so that God will work and move in people's lives, so that the gospel of Jesus Christ will take root in a heart and begin to change them from the inside out, and they begin to go and change their world. And I absolutely believe that is happening here week in and week out. One of the things that I'm seeing in our church is just the numerical growth that's happening here. And at the end of the day, our mission is not, please hear me today, if you go back and look at our mission wall, our mission is not get as many people to come to church as we possibly can. That's not the mission. The mission is help people discover Jesus and develop into world-changing disciples. The mission ultimately is the Great Commission, Matthew 28. Go into all the world and make disciples. We don't get to make up the mission. Jesus, the shepherd, the main shepherd, I'm just the under shepherd here, right? He's our main shepherd. He's our ultimate leader. He gave us our mission. Go make disciples. And so every single number, every person who is now coming to this church represents somebody who hopefully is being discipled and is growing in their faith. And so numbers aren't the goal, but numbers absolutely matter. Numbers tell a story. They tell us something is happening here at True North Church. I'm looking out here. It's the middle of the summer. This is blowing my mind. This place is full. We got a whole bunch of people here in the middle of the summer. 5 years ago, there'd have been 15 people here, right? This is amazing to me how God is bringing people here and he is growing this church. And I think for me, more than anything, you know what the most exciting thing is? Just getting to know the people in this church. having conversations with you every single week, hearing the stories of new people who have come here and why they've started coming here. For many people, it's they just moved here from who knows where, and God brought them to our church. I don't believe that's an accident. He brought them here to connect in and begin to grow further in their faith. I love hearing those stories. For some people, it's I was just disconnected from the church for so long, and now all of a sudden I have a church home. For others, it's I didn't really understand what this whole church thing was about. I didn't understand what the gospel was about, and now I'm learning in a fresh and a new way what this whole Jesus thing is really all about. All of those things, guys, are things to be celebrated. I don't think we stop and celebrate them enough. So can we just right now praise God, put our hands together for all that God is doing here in people's lives? That is an important thing, and I'm so very grateful for that. For the first time in the history of our church, we are averaging about 200 people in our church. We've kind of cracked that 200 barrier. Again, numbers aren't the goal, but that tells a story. And here's the story I want to share this morning. And if you're part of True North, you've heard this many times before, but this church started with 12 people in a living room. 12 people, that's it, 7 years ago. And look how it has grown and what God is doing here. And I think it's easy. I know for me, I probably am preaching this to myself as much as anybody else. I'm a person who like wants to achieve. I want things to grow. I want to see things be successful, right? And for me, sometimes it's not fast enough. I want to reach more people. I want to see more people know Jesus. But God's timing is perfect timing, isn't it? Amen. It's not on my timing. It's on his, and he's growing this church exactly in the timing, in the way that he wants it to grow. And I am lately more and more just, I'm okay with that. I'm satisfied with that. Okay, God, you're in control here. And so I'm so grateful again for how God is growing this church. It's amazing to see what's happened. One thing that we've been praying about for probably about a year, maybe a year and a half, is we've just been praying for the young families in our community. And here's why. I am a person who essentially has a young family. My boys are now moving into the teenage years, and so we're entering into kind of a new phase and a new season of life, and it's very busy. It's very hectic. Some weeks I feel like I'm a taxi driver, just getting them to all of these different events and activities and things going on, and there's so many things pulling families in different directions, and I have a burden for the families of our community. Not that I don't have a burden for everybody. I do. Of course I do. I want everybody in Ross Township and Pittsburgh and beyond to know Jesus and to be a part of our church if they want to be. But I do have a burden right now in this culture for families, because I do believe Satan is at work. He is doing everything he can to pull families away from the church, to distract them with all kinds of different things, all kinds of activities, all kinds of sports. We feel that temptation in our own house, and to not make gathering as the body of Christ a priority. And so we started praying about that. And God has been answering that prayer. We have been seeing young families begin to come to True North Church and begin to engage and connect and grow and make this a priority. And many of you who are here and you are young families, you're inviting friends and family members to come, which to me is an amazing thing. We get a lot of people here who find us just on Google. They find us on the internet, and that's awesome. That's a great thing. We prayed for you. We prayed that you would come here. But it's amazing to me when people begin to actually invite their friends and their family to come and to see what God is doing here and to have an encounter with Jesus Christ. And so very grateful for that as well. We have some amazing testimonies of what God is doing in people's lives. If you look up here, now we don't have any in this service, but there's a baptismal set up here for this weekend. There's going to be two baptisms happening at the 10:45 service. And I can tell you, that is one of my favorite things that I get to participate in as a pastor. Because what that is, if you don't know what baptism is, it is somebody proclaiming that Jesus Christ is their Savior. He has saved them, and they are committing to follow him with all that they have. They are making him Lord of their life, and they're proclaiming that. It's a proclamation to everybody who's there to witness that. What an incredible testimony. And so we've got some testimonies that I'm going to read in the second service during those baptisms, but I wanted to read them to you today because I think it's important, even though you're not going to get to see the baptism, that you hear the story. You see the life change that's happening here at True North Church. And many of you, I think when we do baptisms and people share their stories, it's a reminder of your own story, to reflect back on your own testimony and think about how you might share that with others. Your testimony Even if, you know, I run into so many people, well, you know, I've been going to church since I was, you know, 1 year old. I went with my family and I accepted Jesus in my heart when I was 5 or 6 years old. And it's been a, you know, I've never really gone through anything super hard. And praise God for that. That's an amazing testimony. Share that with people. That's because of God. God did that in your life. God brought you to a place where you didn't have to experience some of the things that other people have to experience. Praise God for that. So share your testimony. So let me read these to you. Michelle and Andrew Weckman are going to be getting baptized in the second service. And maybe some of you know them, maybe some of you don't. But listen to their stories here. Here's Michelle. Before Jesus, I was lost and broken. I was living in a very dark place. It was rare that I ever saw the light. No matter how hard I worked to build the life I wanted, it always felt like something was missing. Anybody else? Anybody else have that as part of your testimony? I tried to fill that void in different ways, but nothing ever lasted. Deep down, I knew there had to be more. Then on October 20th, 2024, my family and some friends began what we called our church crawl. I have never heard that term before, but that's a fascinating term to me, okay? So they started looking for a church. We visited different churches, searching for a place where we truly belonged. On October 5th, 2025, we walked into True North Church for the first time. And from that very first visit, my life began to change. The moment I stepped onto the property, walked through the doors, and sat down to worship, I felt something I had never experienced before. As Pastor Jay faithfully shared God's truth, I knew I was one step closer to finding the missing piece I had been searching for all along. Now, because of Jesus, I have found that missing piece. Through a relationship with him, I have discovered a peace, hope, and purpose that I could never create on my own. I can feel his warmth, his love, and his light surrounding me each day. While I know my journey of faith is just beginning and I still have so much to learn, I am choosing to devote my life to following Jesus. Today, I am grateful to publicly declare that he is my savior, and I look forward to the work he will continue to do in my life. Can we praise God for that? Amen. Absolutely. Somebody's life changed because of Jesus. And then this is her husband, Andrew. And I love his testimony because you're going to see here in a second, the Lord used Michelle to help Andrew understand who Jesus was and help bring him to faith. Before I fully surrendered my life to Jesus, he says, I believed I was capable of charting my own course. I had dreams, ambitions, and a vision for what my future should look like. But I never intentionally set out to find the woman who would become the love of my life. I thought I knew what I wanted, but I didn't yet understand that God knew exactly what I needed. Looking back now, I can see that even when I wasn't seeking him as I should have been, he was already writing a far more beautiful story than I ever could have imagined. Jesus in his perfect love and timing brought Michelle into my life. What began as an unexpected relationship became one of God's greatest gifts to me. For the past 19 years and 13 of those years in marriage, she has been my greatest encouragement, my strongest supporter, my closest friend, and the steady voice that has balanced my strengths with grace and my weaknesses with love. She has stood beside me through victories and failures, celebrated my dreams, carried me through disappointments, and loved me even when I was difficult to love. Through her, Jesus has taught me what sacrificial love, patience, forgiveness, and unwavering commitment truly look like. Every day I thank him, because I know without question that he didn't simply allow me to meet Michelle. He intentionally led me to the woman he created to walk beside me for the rest of my life. And now, because of Jesus, I understand that my marriage is not an accident. It is a testimony of his faithfulness. He gave me far more than I ever deserved in Michelle. And through her, he continues to shape me into a better husband, father, and follower of Christ. My greatest earthly blessing isn't any business I've built or accomplishment I've achieved. It's the privilege of loving the woman God chose for me and building a life centered on him. As I am baptized today, I celebrate the new life Jesus has given me and the incredible ways he continues to transform my heart. I pray that every day I love my wife more like Christ loves the church, with humility, selflessness, faithfulness, and a love that reflects him to the world. Amen. Can we praise God for that this morning? Better husbands, better wives. Amazing, amazing what Jesus can do in our lives. And so God is doing a lot of amazing things around here. And there's some things I want to bring to light and bring to our attention as we move forward now the rest of this year. One of the things that we began in 2024, and I want to remind everybody of this, is we actually threw out a vision challenge. We called it Bridge the Gap. And you maybe have heard that language here sometime over the last 6 months or a year. But one of my goals is to try to get better at keeping that in front of us. Because we set out with this amazing goal, this vision, ultimately to see 500 people being growing and discipled in our church. And so we started that in 2024. I don't know where we were at as far as church size at that point, but I feel like since then we've pretty much doubled in size since about that time. And so God is making do on that challenge to us, right? He challenged us to that, and I believe he's gonna come through on that. But I wanna make sure that we understand exactly what that means, right? Again, I feel like I need to do a better job of helping keeping that in front of our church family so that we are constantly remembering what has God called us to? Who are we called to be? And so ultimately, this is what we wanna see every person in our church do. We wanna see you bridge the gap. What does that mean, right? Why do we come up with that phrase? Well, first of all, this is Pittsburgh. And if you're not familiar with Pittsburgh, I was telling somebody this yesterday, Pittsburgh has more bridges than Venice, which is a city that is literally built on water. We have so many bridges, tons and tons of bridges. And so that bridge imagery, I think, is synonymous with the city of Pittsburgh. And so what are we going to do? What are we going to try to do? Each one of us, every single person who's sitting here right now, if you have a relationship with Jesus, you know somebody who doesn't. There are people in your life. There are people in your community, in your neighborhood, in your family, everywhere you go that don't know Christ. And I want to challenge you this morning. You are the bridge. You are the bridge that could potentially help them understand and see the reality and the truth, the amazing truth of the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. You. And I think when every single person in our church begins to take that seriously, begins to share their testimony with people in their lives, share what Jesus has done in your life, begin to proclaim the gospel, and the gospel is so simple. I'm a sinner. I'm broken. We all are, and we need a savior. And praise God, I don't have to save myself. I can never do enough good work to save myself. But Jesus Christ came and died on a cross and paid the penalty for my sin so I don't have to. And now if we believe in him, we put our faith and our trust in him as Savior alone, we are saved. We get an eternal inheritance in heaven. We begin to have Jesus walk alongside of us through this life and he begins to change everything. Just like these testimonies I just read. He is light in a dark world. Do we want light in the darkness for the people that we love? I think that we do. I think everybody would say that we want that. And so Bridge the Gap is about us being more than a church that just says, yeah, we want to get people to come to church. We want to be the church. And there's a difference. I think for many people, church is an event. It's a 1-hour event on a Sunday morning where we come and we gather and we're a community and we sing some songs and we listen to the word of God. And that's absolutely part of being the church. But the church is supposed to be mobilized. It's not just about getting people to come in here. And so this is the language I want to put in your mind this morning. We are not measuring success around here by the number, the quantity of people that we're getting through the doors. We're measuring success by the quality of people that we are sending out. That's significantly more important to me. Who are we sending out? How are we sending them out? Are they equipped to actually even know and understand what the gospel means? First and foremost, can we just articulate that? And then do we have the boldness, the courage to begin to just share that with people that we love? And I'm telling you right now, think about this with me for a second. If we have 200 people who call this church home, if every single one of those people just went out and shared the good news of the gospel with one person and invited them to come to begin to experience that, to become part of the local church, I'm not great at math, but I'm pretty sure that doubles our church overnight if every single person does that, right? And so at the end of the day, our challenge to you, and it's always gonna be our challenge to you, is to take the good news of the gospel outside of these walls. Go share it. Bridge the gap between the hopelessly lost and the hope of Jesus. We started this in 2024, 2 years ago. The goal was within 5 years to see that kind of growth. I absolutely believe in the law of compounding interest. I believe that's happening here right now. I believe that we're gaining momentum and more people are taking that seriously and coming to faith. And so on that note, I want to share where we're at with our Bridge the Gap campaign and our building search. And so again, if you're new, this might be completely new information to you. If you're not, I think this is important information if you're part of our church family. And again, I want to try to talk about this more. I feel like I haven't done a great job of keeping this in front of our church family. But in the light of the fact that we want to grow and we want to see more people reached, we know that this space is only going to provide what we need for so long. There are great limitations to the space that we're in now, and I'll talk about that in a second. But if we really believe God is going to bring hundreds and hundreds of people here to hear the good news of the gospel, these walls are only going to hold us for so long. And so rather than being reactive, we decided we're going to be proactive, and we're going to begin to raise money for the future home of True North Church. We don't know where that's going to be. We don't know exactly how much it's going to cost, but we know it's going to cost a lot. And we know that we're going to need to raise millions of dollars to make that happen. And so again, rather than sit back and just kind of wait until, okay, we're busting at the seams, we don't have any more room here, we can't add another service here, I don't think that's good. I don't think that's good stewardship. I don't think that's good planning. I don't think that's how God would operate. And so we decided we're going to begin to raise funds now. That was about 2 years ago. In September, it'll be 2 years. Praise God, over that time, we've raised over $625,000 between our Bridge the Gap campaign fund, which is a fund you can give to directly, and through the general giving that is coming in here, the extra savings we've been able to put towards that building campaign. And so that's where we're at right now with the fundraising portion of that. But I want to talk about the why here, because I think this is really, really important. Even if we never grew out of this space, I think we need to hear this. This space has great limitations. So let me just talk about a couple of those. Number one, if you are somebody who has trouble walking upstairs, this is a hard facility to get into. And that breaks my heart. I don't like that. I don't like that somebody could show up here because there's no elevator. There's only one way up here and it's up the stairs. I don't like that they could show up here and be like, I guess I can't come to church here because I can't get up these stairs. It is what it is right now. This is our space, and I'm so grateful for this space. God has provided in a huge way. But long term, I don't like that. That's not going to fly. I want this to be a place where every single person, no matter what their physical abilities are, they can come in here and they can worship with us as a church family. So number one, it's not handicap accessible. It's not ADA compliant, right? So we've got to find a space that is. Number two, it's not functionally laid out very well for worship and community to happen at the same time. And probably if you've been coming to True North Church long enough, and if you start coming, you're gonna experience this. Our lobby space is our worship space, and our worship space is our lobby space. And so here's what happens oftentimes. People are back there, man, they're chit-chatting away, they're connecting, they're laughing, they're having a great time, and that's a good thing. We want our people to love each other and to connect with each other and to talk to each other, right? But then we also have this worship thing happening up here where we want to be reverent and we want to recognize, hey, we're spending time connecting with the Lord now, right? And so those two things are kind of competing with each other, right? We talked about building a wall back there and creating like a more of a true worship space separated from the lobby, but there's a cost to that. Do we want to invest in a building that's not even our own building, right? What if we grow to the point where we need to push back into the lobby space. Now we've built a wall, we can't go any further back. So it's complicated. It's never as easy as just, oh, let's just make this decision. We are thinking about all of those things all the time. How do we do this the best way we possibly can? But that is absolutely a limitation to this space, right? So again, even if we never grew out of it, I believe we need a different space. Number three, this is just super practical. We're not building any equity here. I would love to get to the place where we own our building free and clear. We don't have rent. We don't have mortgage. Why? Because that's more money that we can invest into ministry. Not that the building isn't a ministry. The building is a ministry. Things happen here. Life groups happen here every single week. Everything we do here, every dollar we spend here is mission work, is ministry work. And so I don't want it to sound like, well, a building, paying for a building isn't ministry. It is. But I would much rather see that money go to one of our ministry partners, which we're going to talk about here in a second. Some organization that's doing really good work in our city or around the world. More ministry projects here within True North Church, right? And so again, we've raised about $625,000 toward our $2.5 million goal. That $2.5 million really is our Kickstarter fund. It's a very high probability that it's gonna cost more than that. Real estate is insanely expensive to get, especially here in Ross Township. It's very expensive. And so I do wanna talk about that for a second, because I think this is important, again, information for everybody to understand. We are always looking right now for properties. We're not just sitting back and going, well, I guess when something comes along, you know, the Lord will just drop it in our lap. That very well might happen, but we are also proactively looking in Ross Township. And I want you to hear this. Our goal is to stay in Ross Township or Westview, to stay in the North Hills School District. I believe that's where we were called when we were called to plant this church 7 years ago. And so I'm not saying we wouldn't just like go across the line into Shaler if it was close or up into McCandless, but really the goal is to be in the heart of Ross. We don't wanna move the church a significant distance from where it is right now, because we know, right, this is the central part where everybody is coming from, right? And so if you move it 15 minutes that direction, that could be 15 minutes further drive for somebody, right? And so we're doing everything we can to stay here, to stay in Ross. But again, there's not a lot of real estate opportunities here in Ross Township in the budget that we are looking at. And so we're looking at land. I just want you to know, we're looking at land. We're looking at existing buildings. We will retrofit a building. We're looking at if a church decides they want to sell their building, or they're to the point where they're like, we'd merge with another church. I am open to anything, whatever God leads us to do. But why am I sharing that with you? Hey, we got a church of 200 plus people here. You hear of something? Let us know. It may not be viable, but why not? Share it. Come to us if you see something that seems like it might be an available option. That's one way that you can help us as we continue to search for this property. But the second thing is this. We do need to raise more money. And I think it's important that we're upfront about that. If you've been coming to True North for a while, you know this. We try really hard around here not to constantly be pounding the table for money. We believe God is going to bring the funds that are needed to support the ministry that we want to do and eventually support this building. But at the same time, I do think it is important for me as the pastor to challenge you. If God has blessed you, I believe he has blessed you to be a blessing. I believe he has blessed you to steward that money well and to use it to build his kingdom. And so what a great opportunity. I cannot think of a better legacy we could leave with our money than to build the kingdom of God. And I'm not just talking about buildings now. I'm talking about seeing people reached, right? A building is just a place to do programs to reach people. That's all it is. It's an opportunity for us to reach more people. And so when you invest, when you give here, you are helping us ultimately fulfill our mission. And so here's the simple challenge. Would you, number one, pray about what it might look like for you to begin giving here at True North Church? Begin first and foremost giving to our general fund. Every extra dollar we are getting in our general fund, we're trying to move that over into our Bridge the Gap fund. And then anything extra, and I think this is an important thing, again, for me just as the pastor to make sure it's clear. Anything we give to Bridge the Gap, it's gotta be above and beyond our regular general giving. Because at the end of the day, we would love to buy a new building, but first and foremost, we wanna be able to continue to do the ministry we're already doing. And so I would just simply ask you to pray about what that might look like for you. And then would you join us as well in praying for that building? Whenever God wants it to come, we want his will to be done. I don't want to rush it. I don't want to get ahead of God. But would you begin to just pray with us about our future home? All right. So we're not just trying to grow the kingdom here of True North. I say that a lot, right? We're trying to grow the kingdom. It's not about the kingdom of True North, right? It's about the kingdom. And so we don't do this. Again, I feel like I don't do this enough and I need to do this more often. We don't talk about the ministry partners that we are actually supporting every single month with our financial dollars. So every single month, you guys are giving and you're supporting the ministry of True North. But did you know this? This is so critical. You are also supporting incredible ministries in Pittsburgh and around the world with your giving. It's not just about here. And I want to highlight a few of these ministries right now. So the first one is the Pittsburgh Kids Foundation. I think we have a graphic for that. Beautiful. Tech team. Let's give it up for the tech team. back behind the scenes. Nobody ever sees them, but man, they are an important part of what we do here. So the Pittsburgh Kids Foundation has a whole kind of plethora of things that they do, but two of the big things they do is they run summer camps and weekend retreat camps for students all around Pittsburgh that are having an impact on those students. My kids, my boys, have been to some of their camps. It's an awesome, amazing thing that they are doing. Not only do they do that, they also run local workshops and gatherings for pastors, youth pastors, to be able to connect and grow and train them and equip them. And then finally, they have a ministry in Haiti where they are doing all kinds of amazing work there. They just opened up a brand new medical facility that's helping to provide medical care for the Haitian people there that wouldn't have it without them. And so every dollar that's coming in here, I believe, is going to mission work. But this is directly towards somebody in our city, an organization in our city that's having a great, great impact. So thank you for how you're giving. Second one is Foster Love Project. Yesterday, we had about 40 or 50 people from our church that were out serving in the community. One of those places was the Foster Love Project. What the Foster Love Project does is they provide all kinds of resources for families that are bringing foster children into their home. One of our biggest projects of the year that we do at the end of the year is our Foster Love Bag Drive. And so if you don't know this, and this is very near and dear to my heart and to my wife's heart, we have fostered and adopted 3 children. When a child is taken out of their home, oftentimes there's no time to gather bags, nice belongings, all of their stuff. It's a dire moment and they get pulled out. And oftentimes it's whatever stuff they could grab thrown in a trash bag. That is the reality. And so kind of metaphorically, if you think about this, like their whole life in a trash bag. And so what the bag drive does is it provides a nice brand new bag with some really nice things in it that they can call their own. This is mine. It's nice. It's brand new stuff. And so every year at Christmas time, we try to pack as many bags as we can and send them to Foster Love. And so they do a whole bunch of different things with their ministry. We were just there helping clean their main facility where people can come and shop. But what an awesome ministry they're doing here in Pittsburgh. All right, third one. These are all of our local outreach ones. We just started supporting Jess Bowen, who's working with the CCO over at Carnegie Mellon. And she is working primarily with female athletes there, but really working with a lot of ladies on campus, just helping to help them understand the gospel, helping them know Christ. And so Jess started coming to church here at True North about 4 years ago. And for me, I don't think there's anything more exciting than somebody that's homegrown, that it's started coming to your church, grew, got discipled here, and is passionate and excited about doing ministry, being able to send them out and support them. So that was a no-brainer for us. I believe Jess is having a great impact on Carnegie Mellon's campus. And so please be praying for her as she does that. That's a really tough mission field. That's an environment there that is often very anti-God and opposed to the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so she's got a hard job there, but we're really proud of Jess and excited to be able to support her. All right, we're going to switch gears now. Those are our local ones. I want to switch to our global partners. Now, the first one I want to talk about is Renewal Project Africa. So I had an opportunity 3 years ago to go to Mombasa, Kenya, to meet Gideon Banda, who is the guy who started Renewal Project, and to spend a week with him and see firsthand on the ground what they are doing in Mombasa. And so their primary mission is to plant churches in Mombasa, around Kenya, and actually now beginning to expand to some other countries, Tanzania, Uganda, they're getting into some other places. But ultimately, what I want you to hear today is this. We have always desired to send mission teams out of True North Church. It's been hard as we've been small, and we've not really felt like we were ready to do that, but we are finally ready to do that. And so we started talking about having a mission trip in November of this year. It ultimately did not work out to go in November. There weren't enough people that wanted to go at that time. And so the trip has actually been moved to June of next year. So from June 5th to the 15th next year, we are sending a team to Mombasa to work with Renewal Project Africa. And I want to throw out the challenge right now. If you have ever thought about going on a mission trip, here's your sign. This is an opportunity to go. This is an opportunity to go, stretch yourself, get out of your comfort zone, and go and see the work that God is doing there, invest there, have an impact there. And then ultimately, you know what my main goal is sending a team over there? Because I know there's only so much we're going to do in a week. I recognize that. I know that. I want you to come back fired up and excited about mission work. I want you to share that with people that you come in contact with. I want you to have a heart for the nations. That's what I want. Because ultimately, when God gave us the Great Commission, he did not just say, hey, come and come to me, follow me, and make disciples of just your neighborhood. That's the first step. That's your first circle. But he said, go into every nation, all nations, and make disciples. And I take that seriously. We take that seriously here at True North Church. And so if you want more information about that, about the trip, you can go online. You can sign up. We're going to be having some interest meetings as we move into the fall here to start getting ready for that. But I'd love to see a team of about 10 to 15 people make that trip for the very first time. And maybe right now God is tugging at your heart, stirring in your heart. Maybe it's you that he wants to be on that trip. All right. Next one. We got two more global partners here. New Vines International is another partner. They are doing work in Kenya as well. And the ministry that we specifically support is a ministry to women who are being exploited, sexually exploited and exploited in a lot of different ways. And what we are able to do through that funding and what New Vines is doing there is their main mission is to help create microfinancing so that people can learn how to do a skill, learn a job, and then begin to support themselves to get out of that exploitation, right? So they essentially, they don't have to sell themselves to survive and to live. And so when they get jobs, when these women get jobs and learn how to, they learn how to sew, they learn how to start little chicken farms, they learn how to do all these little things over there, create money, they can actually not only support themselves, they get their children in school for the very first time. I mean, it's literally that education is transforming not only their family, but I believe generations of their families. And so, again, we are pretty much the sole supporter of that ministry in Kenya. So again, thank you for how you are giving and supporting that. All right, EduNations is our final one. EduNations is in the Sierra Leone, and it is a school. It is a Christian school. And so we're supporting multiple teachers that serve there. Those children, if they didn't have this school, many of them would probably not go to school. They'd probably never get an education, and they would get in the cycle of poverty that so many people are in there. That education helps to get them out of that. And so we're, again, supporting those teachers. We praise God for that. And then there are many people in our church who are supporting children, who are supporting kids, individual kids over there with EduNations. All right, the last one I want to talk about, and again, I know I've said this multiple times, but I want to get better at highlighting this organization and ultimately what our future plan is with this organization. So it's Times 12 is the name of the organization. And Times 12 is a church planting network that we are a part of. We've been a part of Times 12 pretty much since the very beginning of True North Church's history. I am actually the Pittsburgh area director for Times 12. So it's a very, very, that sounds like a big title. It's really not. It's just, I'm the guy in Pittsburgh who's trying to help plant more churches in Pittsburgh. And see the gospel spread through church planting. And so True North Church's mission has always been, we want to plant more churches. We don't want to be the only church that was ever planted out of this church. We want to send people out into more parts of the city and see other churches planted. And that's happening all over the country and all over the world. And so right now we give to Times 12, and that money is actually helping plant churches all over the country. And so I think we have a video here I want to show you of Brandon Cobb. He's a buddy of mine who's part of Times 12 Church. He planted Eden Church in New Jersey, I think about a year ago, maybe a year and a half ago. And I just want you to see, I just want you to get a picture of how your dollars, the money that you are giving, is helping to reach more people, not just here in Pittsburgh, but around the world. So if we can show that video real quick, I would love to show that to everybody.
From the moment that I came to proclaim Jesus as my Savior, one of the first things I ever thought was like, man, something like what I'm experiencing right now needs to happen in North Jersey. And that was kind of where the thought stopped. I'd never thought it would be me. But I think over the course of time, God has made it clear that it should be us. Jesus loves this place and these people. I don't think people hear that enough in a place like this. Church planting is a lonely game. It's in those darkest moments, I feel like, and I always can remember that there are people literally across the globe, even not even just the country, but like the globe, that are actually praying for me. It makes it impossible to believe the lie that you are actually alone when you're in the trenches of church planting, and you know, you can start to feel like, man, I really am alone in this. Having a partner like Thomas Love really makes it impossible to believe that.
In Philippians 4:18, Paul talks about the idea of giving to church plants in specific, because he was talking to people who were giving to a church plant, and he calls that act a fragrant offering that is pleasing and acceptable to God. And a fragrant offering is a type of worship. And I fully believe that as you give to Times 12, you are allowing people like me to lead you and your family in a very special form of worship that I hope you never take lightly. And I just thank you. I thank you that you would trust us to lead you in that way as we make an impact for the kingdom.
As we kind of roll to the finish here, I do want to talk to you and kind of give you a challenge specifically that's more just focused on you specifically. And I think this is a challenge for every single person in the room. And I think this is the most important thing I can challenge you with. As we come halfway through this year and we look towards the end of this year, the second half of this year, I said already, we're not measuring success by how many people we get in the door. We're measuring success by how many people we send out the door and the quality of the people that we send out the door. And so ultimately, what's our mission? It's make disciples. And the question becomes then, what does that mean? What does that look like? What does it mean to be a disciple, right? And so at the end of the day, we break it down into three kind of categories, if you will. And you're going to see when you leave here today, I encourage you, walk back to our coffee bar and look at it. It's on a big window back there. We abide, we love, and we lead. That's who we are, church. It's that simple. Disciples of Jesus, first and foremost, abide in Christ, right? John 15:5 says, abide in me, remain in me, and I in you. Apart from me, you can bear no fruit, but in me, you will bear much fruit. And so we want to be fruit bearers. We want to be people who are abiding in Christ, being filled up by Christ first and foremost. And so what does that look like? What does that look like for each of us? I think it's as simple as this. Are we in the Word of God daily? Are we spending time in fellowship and communion with our Heavenly Father? That is the most important thing that you can be doing as a follower of Jesus. Because it is through that relationship with Him that you will be changed. You want to see life change happen in your life? You want to see your family transformed? You want to see your neighborhood transformed? You first. You take the step first to really pursue the Lord. And so we've created a resource here that many of you are using called The Path. It's a chapter a day, 365-day journal that uses a method called the SOAP method: scripture, observation, application, prayer. There's over 100 people in our church who are going through that right now. To those of you who are going through it, I want to throw out this challenge. I know there are some books of the Bible that are hard to get through. There are some books of the Bible that are really hard to journal, and it's like it's work to try to pull something out of there. But I'm telling you this right now. If it's in the Word of God, it's in there for a reason. And there is something to be found every single chapter we read. And so I want to encourage you, if you kind of fell off a little bit, pick back up. Get back into it. It's okay. Nobody's judging you here. There's lots of grace here. But get back into it and begin to invest in reading the Word of God daily. If you don't want to get a path journal, so maybe you're not using the path journal, just begin to read the Word of God daily. Begin to journal. I would encourage you, SOAP journal. I think it's an amazing way to enhance your time with the Lord and will greatly help you to connect with God in a way that you haven't before, and then begin to spend some time praying every single day, all right? Number two, we're gonna love like Jesus. What does that look like? What does that mean? When I look at the life of Jesus, here's what I see. John 13:34, a new command I give you, love one another as I have loved you. That's what he said. How did Jesus love us? It's pretty powerful. What did he do? He literally laid down his life for us. He was willing to die for us, for our sake, so that we could truly live. And so every day, here's the challenge. And boy, this is a hard challenge. Boy, this is one that every day I wake up and I'm like, I don't know if I can do it today, God, but I'm going to try. I'm going to lay down my life for the good of others. I'm going to serve others. Life is not going to be about me. And that might mean, you know, helping out a neighbor when you don't really feel like you have time. It might be having a conversation with somebody when you're in a hurry. It might be giving financially sacrificing resources for somebody when you don't even really have it. There's so many ways that we can love the people around us. I believe that's what Jesus did, and that's what he calls his disciples to do. And I absolutely believe this. When we tangibly love others, there's no greater way to share the gospel than to begin with that. Right? We can talk the talk all we want. If we don't walk the walk of Jesus, though, the talk is going to fall on deaf ears. And so I want to challenge you. Abide in Christ first. Let him fill you and then begin to flow out of that love for other people. And then finally, share the good news of the gospel with others. Share the good news. Invite your family, your friends, your coworkers into a relationship with Jesus. Invite them to come to church and to hear the good news of the gospel. Let's fill this place to overflowing. Let's see this place busting at the seams. I want to add a third service as soon as possible. I just gave our kids ministry a body shiver, right? But I want to see this place, blow up for the gospel, for Jesus, and see more and more lives changed. I believe it starts with each one of us just simply loving our neighbor and sharing the good news of the gospel with them. And so I want to close with this. Will you pray with us? Will you commit to praying with us for these needs that we've mentioned here today? Will you pray for our financial needs? Will you pray for the building that I believe God has for us? Will you pray for our community to be a community that absolutely is passionate about reaching their family and friends with the good news of the gospel? Get involved. Take that step today. Be part of the body of Christ, right? Don't just be, this is the language I'll use here. Don't just be somebody who is a consumer. Be a contributor. Be somebody who's not just attending a church event every once in a while or even every week, but be somebody who's part of what's happening here. I believe that is who God has called us to be as the body of Christ, and I believe that's how we'll have the greatest impact in this world. And so I want to close here. We're going to close with a song. I want to invite our band to come back up, and we're going to get ready to sing a song here as we close together this morning. But I want to read a verse to you from Ephesians 3, 20 and 21. It's a verse that's been sticking with me all this year. It's a verse that I come back to when I get discouraged, when I feel like things aren't moving fast enough. I read this. And I remember this, and I want to encourage you with it. It says this: now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations forever and ever. Amen. To him who is able to do immeasurably more than we ask or imagine. Church, do we believe that today? Do we believe that today? Come on now. That he is able to do immeasurably more than we could ask or imagine. I believe the dreams that I have for this place are nothing compared to the dreams that God has for this place. My thinking is small, honestly, compared to what God wants to do in this place. I'm just trying to catch up to him and have my mind be as big and grab on as much as I possibly can to what the Lord has for us. And that's my hope and prayer for us, church, is that every one of us would believe that he is able. He's able in your family. He's able in that relationship that's broken. He's able in your health crisis right now. He's able in that friendship with that person who doesn't know Christ and is rejecting them. He is able, whatever it is. And so would you stand with us this morning as we close? We're going to sing a song here called Able.